The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashah's Baalei Secho. In Baalei Secho, Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah tells us, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shona ha'shenis l'tzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim b'chodesh harishon l'emor." Hashem said to Moshe in the desert of Sinai, in the second year of the going out of Egypt, and in the first month. So this was Nisan. They came to Midbar Sinai in Sivan of the previous year. So this was some 9 to 10 months later. And there they fulfilled the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach, the Arba Soyim B'Chedish Hazeh, the 14th day of Nisan, in Arbaim, in the afternoon, Tasu Esei B'Mayadai, you shall fulfill this in its proper time, Yechol Chukoysov, Yechol Mishpotov Tasu Esei, in accordance to all of its laws. Then, in Pasuk Vav, it states, "Vayhi Anoshim Asher Hayu Tameim LaNefesh Adam." There were people who were Tomei Nefesh. They were impure because they had come in contact with a dead person at this time. And on this day, the 14th of Nisan, they were not able to fulfill the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach because of their impurity. And they came to Moshe and to Aaron on that day, Vayemru, and they said, "Anoshim ha'ema elov." Vayemru anoshim ha'ema elov. And these people said to them, "Anachnu temein lenefesh odom." We are impure because we have come in contact with a dead person. Loma nigora levilti hakriv es korban Hashem b'mayadei v'seif b'nei Yisrael. Why should we be worse off? Why should we be different, excluded from bringing the Korban Hashem, from bringing the sacrifice of Hashem in its proper time amongst the rest of Israel? Vayim aleh Meshem. Meshem said, "Imdu v'shma'a ma'yitzav Hashem lachem." I will go, and I will go to the Ohel Ma'ay, to the Mishkan, and I will see what Hashem will command. Vayidaber Hashem al Meshem lemor, and Hashem said to Meshem, "Daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor." Speak to the children of Israel, saying, "Ish ish ki yetom le nefesh o b'derech erchecho lachem o l'derecheichem v'osa pesach l'Hashem." If there is a person who is impure when it comes time to bring the Korban Pesach, or he's too far away, have to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash or in the sanctuary by the Mishkan, and he's too far away, so then v'osa pesach l'Hashem, then he shall bring a second pesach to Hashem. B'chodesh hasheni b'arba asayim ben arba'im yasu esay. Instead of in the first month, on the 14th day of Nisan, he shall bring it in the second month, on the 14th day of Iyar. Al matzis u'mareim yechluhu, and he shall eat it with matzis and moror, and so forth. So the Torah here tells us of the Korban Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, and for those who were not able to bring the first Pesach. Who were these people that weren't able to bring the first Pesach because of impurity? The Gemara brings in the Sechta Sukkah, Daf Chof Hei, Seif Omen Aleph, a discussion in this. The Gemara says, "Vayhi Anoshim Asher Hayu Tmeim LaNefesh Odom," and they were the people who were impure because they came in contact with a dead person. Osama Noshim Mihoyi. Who were these people? Nosi Areni Shal Yesi for you, give Rabbi Yeshua Glili. Rabbi Yeshua Glili says these were the people who were carrying the casket of Yosef. When Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, so there, then Yosef made them promise, Malisa Nasat Mesai Mizei Itchem, that you should carry out my casket with you. So those that were carrying it, they became Tomei LeNefesh, they became impure. These were the people. This is what the Yeshua Glili says. Yeshua Glili. The Bekiva Amar, the Bekiva says differently. They were Mishael Vel Tzofen. They were two sons of Aaron, Mishael Vel Tzofen, Shohir Eskim Benod of Avihu. When the Mishkan was put up and it was sanctified, it was inaugurated, and it was inaugurated on Reshkedish Nisan. There we learned the Nodav Aviyu brought a fire which was not commanded, and they committed another sin and they were consumed by the flames. So the brothers Mishael Vel Tzofen were the ones who were Mesasek with them. They came and they took care of their bodies and buried them. So they were the ones who became Tomei. Reb Yitzchok Omer, Reb Yitzchok said, it says neither of them. Of the first ones, even though say Arena shall Yosef for you, if they were the ones who were carrying the casket of Yosef, Farhoyu Yecholim Litoher, they had plenty of time to be Matahir. Rashi explains because when they carried the casket of Yosef, they only carried it when they were marching, and not when they were in the camp. And they had come to camp, Eitzel Ahar, next to Har Sinai, Reishkedesh Sivan, it states. Reishkedesh Sivan almost some 9 months before. Here we were speaking about, it was the 14th of Nisan of the following year. And during those 9 months, they did not move. So there was no need to carry the casket of Yosef. So they had plenty of time to be Matahir. In order to become Tohar, it doesn't take that long. And not only that, but even if you say that they needed the Efer of the Pora Aduma, they needed in order to become Tohar, they needed the ashes of the Red Heifer, well, that they had from Reishkedesh Nisan. It states that the Pora was Nisraf on the first or the second day of Nisan. So they still had almost 2 weeks, and it takes only 7 days to become Tohar. So it wasn't them. He says it could be them. Imishael Vel Tzofen. And if it was Mishael Vel Tzofen, Yuchel and Hoyul Litoyer, they also could be Matahir. Because when did the episode take place with Nodav Aviyu? The inauguration of the Mishkan, which was Reishkedesh Nisan. So they also have from Reishkedesh Nisan until the 14th of Nisan. They have 2 full weeks. So why weren't they Tohar? Ella Eskim B'meis Mitzvah Hoyu. They were people who had a death in the family. But it was neither of the ones mentioned before. This is what the Mitzvah says. And because of the death in the family, it was a Mitzvah Mutal Ala Krevi. The mitzvah, which is the first responsibility, is to the nearest of kin, that they see that this person is buried properly. So therefore, they went and they were buried him. And Shechal Shvi Shalehen Liyos Be'er Pesach. And once you come in contact with a dead person, you need 7 days in order to make yourself Tohar. On the 8th day you become Tohar. Their 7th day came out on Erev Pesach, Yud Daled Nisan, which is the time of the Shechitas HaKorban, which they had to shech the Korban, and therefore they couldn't. And how do we know it came out then? Because it states in the Pasuk, Lo Yochlu Las Is HaPesach Bayimahu. They said that we were not able to bring the Pesach on this day, Bayimahu in En Yochen Lasis, Shalom Ocha Yochen Lasis. On this day we were not able to bring, but tomorrow we would be able to bring, on the 15th. At any rate, there are three different opinions as to who were these people, but everybody agrees. Either it was those who were carrying the casket of Yosef, or it was the brothers of Nodavam Yehu. They were burying them, or they had, there was a family that someone died, and they had to bury them. So they were Temeim Lenefesh Odom, and they couldn't become Tohar in time to bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, tell them they'll get a second chance. Wait till next month, exactly 1 month later, and on the 14th of Iyar will be the time of the Shechita of the Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach. Here we have this parsha of the second Pesach. We find in mitzvahs two dimensions, two gedorim. We find what is known as a mitzvah v'aisa and an eina mitzvah v'aisa. Mitzvah v'aisa, that's a mitzvah which someone is commanded in and he fulfills. And then we have another dimension of a mitzvah which is called an eina mitzvah v'aisa. Someone is not commanded in it and he fulfills. Mitzvah v'aisa, the first dimension, that is simple and needs no explanation. That basically the Taryag mitzvah, 613 mitzvahs, we would command it in, or at least where it's appropriate for those who were commanded, and they fulfilled them ki hilchosai. So then they were both commanded and they fulfilled the mitzvah. What is an eina mitzvah? What is a mitzvah which we were not commanded in and yet we can still fulfill? So on this we have a number of sources. One is the Gemara in Kedushin, and the Aflamet Aleph, Seif Amad Aleph. The Gemara brings the Gemara is speaking about the mitzvah of Kibur Ave Eim, honoring your father and mother. And the Gemara asks, Ad Heikon, which is Kibur Aveim, how far must one go to honor and to take care of one's father and mother? So the Gemara says, the Blazer says to his Talmidim that asked him this, Tzu uru'u ma'osa evi kekhovi mechod lo'ovdiz ba'ashkelein. This we can see from a certain non-Jew who lived in Ashkelon, the Doma ben Esina Shmai, and his name was Doma ben Esina. The Gemara brings a number of cases of how he went to such extremes to honor his father and mother. One case it brings, Bikshu mimenu chachomim avodim le'efai b'shishi b'ribu eschar. He had some precious jewels, and the Chachomim needed these jewels for the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And they came to him, and they were willing to pay him Shishi Birbua, 600,000 pieces of silver for it. Some say 800,000. And his father was sleeping, and beneath the pillow was the key to the safe where the jewels were kept. The late Siara, and he refused to wake up his father to get the key, to get the jewels, to sell it for this huge amount of money, and because of that he lost the sale. The next year HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him. In his herd was born to him a Pora Aduma, a red heifer. And a red heifer, if you have two hairs that are not red, possible, disqualified. So it was very, very rare. Niknusu Chachma Yisrael Etzloi, and the Chachomim came because they needed it. Because we need a red heifer in order to be Metaher, purify people, from Tumei Meis, from those that are Tomei Lenefesh. So Omelahem Yadi Ani Bochem, he said to them, I know, Shimani Mavakish, we can call Mamun Sheba Elam, Atem Neis Nimli. If I ask from you all of the money in the world, you have to give it to me because you need this. I know the Jews need this. Elain ani mevakish mikem ala esim momen shivsarati bishvil kred abo. But I'll only ask the amount of money that I lost on the sale of the jewels that time I didn't want to wake up my father. So they gave him that. This is one of the cases where we see how far he went to honor his father and mother. Rabbi Hanina said, "Umami sheinu mitzuva v'esekach." Now this is an eina mitzuva v'esekach. This is someone who's not commanded, and he does, because a non-Jew is not commanded on kibbutz avim, honoring his father and mother. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs of the Bnei Noach that were given to the children of Noach. So we who are commanded on that mitzvah, how much more so? The Omer Rav Hanina, because Rav Hanina said, but why that we are commanded, why are we more obligated? Omer Rav Hanina, Godel mitzvah v'eisa, Mishena mitzvah v'eisa. Greater is the reward for someone who's commanded in a mitzvah and he fulfills it, than someone who is not commanded in a mitzvah and fulfills it. So here we have a source of what an eina mitzuva v'eisa is, where you're not commanded and you fulfill it. It's, you will get rewarded for it, even though you're not commanded. Like we see, Doma ben Nesina received this reward, he was paid a poor aduma. But nevertheless, it's not as great as a reward as fulfilling a mitzvah which you commanded it. Omar Rabbi Yosef was blind, and he said, "Mereish hava amina manda hava Omar li haloha ke Rabbi Yehuda." The Omar, suma potem in amitzvus, avin no yuma tabel rabbonon. I used to say that if someone would tell me the haloha is like a Rabbi Yehuda who holds that a suma, a blind person, is free from doing mitzvus, then I would make a party for the Rabbon. I would be very happy. Why? Dalai, dohalai, bifkadino, vavino. Because I am not commanded then, and still I fulfill the mitzvahs. And he used to think that someone who was not commanded and fulfilled the mitzvahs, his reward would be even greater than someone who is commanded. So therefore he said that if someone would tell me that Allah is like a behuda, that assume a blind person is free from the mitzvahs, then I would make a Yumatamal Rabbonan, a Yontef, a party for the Rabbonan to celebrate. Because I am not commanded and I'm fulfilling the mitzvah. So Godel Shkore, I have great reward. But now that I heard what the Bchinina said, but he says Godel Mitzvah Yesem Misha Eina Mitzvah. He says that someone who is commanded and fulfills the mitzvah has greater reward than someone who's not commanded. All right, so now I say to the country, Adarabba, Manda Omar li de'ein halocha ki Rabbi Yehuda. If someone will tell me that halocha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that Asuma is free from mitzvahs, Avinu yumatam al Rabbonon, then I would make a yantif, a party for the Rabbonon, because now I want to be a mitzuva, I want to be commanded, because the reward is greater. So this, here we have a source by this non-Jew or by a blind person. The question there could be mitzvahs which you are not commanded, but nevertheless you can fulfill, and if you fulfill you get reward for it, but not as great a reward as a mitzvah vayser, as someone who's commanded. Tasis brings in the sugya, he says, and the mitzvahs that women are free of, mitzvahs essay shesman groma, mitzvahs essay, a positive commandment which is limited and governed by time, for example, shefa is only on Rosh Hashanah, or sukkah is only on sukkahs. So they are an eina mitzvah, so they're not commanded. If they do it, they get reward, but the reward is not as great as someone who's commanded. This is incidentally bringing it as a whole question. If women fulfill mitzvahs like that, can they make a brocha? The Rambam holds they cannot make a bracha. Rabbi Nitan brings a proof from here that they can. Because if you say that you cannot, so Rabbi Yosef wouldn't have been so happy as to make a celebration when he thought that someone who is not commanded and fulfills mitzvahs gets greater reward. Because all of those mitzvahs that he would fulfill, he wouldn't be able to make a bracha. And the Gemara says that when you lose a bracha, you lose great reward. The Gemara that says if you take a bracha away from someone, he can sue you because you caused them a loss. So what's a Yosef celebration for? He's fulfilling all of those mitzvahs. But brachas he couldn't make on them. So he brings a proof from this sugi where he holds, therefore, you can make a bracha. Incidentally, from this Gemara, they bring a proof to another halacha. They bring a proof to why a bar mitzvah bracha should make a celebration. What's a bar mitzvah bracha celebrate? Because here we see that Rabbi Yosef was prepared to make a celebration when he thought he would have schar mitzvah, reward for mitzvah. Therefore, this would be the same thing with a bar mitzvah bracha. At any rate, here we see the source of an eina mitzvah v'aisa. We have further sources for it. Like Tosfos that he brings from a woman, the Rambam brings this. He brings this in in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam brings Isha Shalomda Torah, a woman that studies Torah, Yesh Lo Schar, she has reward. Aval Eina Keschar Ish, but she doesn't have as much reward as a man. What's the difference? Because the man is commanded and she's not commanded. And whoever does a mitzvah but which he or she are not commanded to do, they have reward, but the reward is not as great as someone who does a mitzvah that he's commanded in. So the Rambam brings it. Another source we can cite on this is the Gemara in Aveirah Zorah. The Gemara brings in the beginning of Masechta Aveirah Zorah and that Gimel Samyo Hoya Remeya Eimer. Remeya said, how do we know that even a non-Jew, the Osik B'Torah, and he studies Torah, Tosfos brings, what kind of Torah does he study? He studies the Torah of the seven mitzvahs that he's commanded in. Shehu Kekein Godel, he's as great as a Kohen Godel, because he studies Torah, and he knows Torah. Talmud Leimar, because it says in the pasuk in Vayikra Yudches Asher Yasa Osam HaOdom V'Chai Bohem, by Torah it says the Odom HaOdom who fulfills them, these mitzvahs, he shall live by it. So it doesn't say the Kahanim or the Levim or the Yisraelim Leinemar Elo HaOdom, it says the man HaLamadeto Shafi Levechom Basic B'Torah Areu Kekein Godel. So we see from here that even the Namju, if he studies Torah, the Torah of his seven mitzvahs, he gets reward like a Kohen Gadol. Ela leimalok shein makablim aleim schor kimetzuv v'vayse, ela kimisha ena mitzuv v'vayse. But he will get not the same reward that a Jew will get, because he's not commanded. He will get reward like someone who is not commanded, and he does. Omar Reb Chanina, and then he quotes Reb Chanina, God la matzuv v'aisa, yesed misha eina matzuv v'aisa. See, evidently, the non-Jew is commanded in the seven mitzvahs, but he is not commanded to study the Torah of the seven mitzvahs. But if he does study the Torah of the seven mitzvahs, then he will receive reward, like an Eina Mitzvah Va'isha. Now comes the question, why do we say that an Eina Mitzvah Va'isha, someone who is not commanded and fulfilled mitzvahs, has less reward than someone who is commanded and fulfilled mitzvahs? There would be a rationale to say just the opposite. You do the mitzvah because you have to. I'm doing the mitzvah even though I don't have to. So maybe I should have more reward. So this are three answers, three interpretations. Taisus in Kiddushin, he says that someone who's not mitzvah ba'isa, obif, he gets more reward. Excuse me, someone who is commanded, and he does. Lefisha do'eg u'mitztara yesa, because he is always under the pressure. He's always under the constant stress and worry. Pen yavor, maybe he will not fulfill the mitzvah. And if he will not fulfill the mitzvah, he could get punished for not fulfilling it because he's commanded. Mimisha ein mitzvah, while the other fellow who is not commanded, yesh lepas besalei, he's someone who has bread in his basket. That means if he wants, he can fulfill it. If he doesn't want, he can leave it. So what is Taisa saying? There's a difference between someone who's conscripted into national service or someone who's a freelance or a volunteer. Volunteer is a fair weather man. When it suits me, I'll help you. I'll be here. If it's a rainy day, don't count on me. But that's an Eina Mitzvah. But a Mitzvah, he has sleepless nights because he knows that tomorrow, whether it's going to be sun or rain or cold, he's going to have to do the mitzvah, and if he doesn't, he'll transgress it. Okay? So therefore, the mitzvah ba'esa, the one who's commanded and does it, he's constantly under this responsibility, its duty, this stress. Da'ek tomi, he's constantly worried about it. He must have greater reward than the other one. So that's one interpretation. Another interpretation Taisus gives in the Masechta Aveda Zorah. He says, "Mipneishu deik tomid levatal yitzrei ulekai mitzvus abore." He says, "There's the Yetzirah. You see, the Yetzirah always stands up against a person doing what's best. That's what we find by the greatest mitzvahs is the greatest Yetzirah." So by someone who's not commanded in the mitzvah, he's not obligated. Since he's not obligated, what does the Yetzirah have to do with him? The Yetzirah doesn't spend too much time with that fellow when it comes to that. He's not obligated in the mitzvahs. But by someone who is obligated in this particular mitzvah, there the Yetzirah uses all his power to get him not to do the mitzvah. Gives him distractions and gives him illusions and gives him different desires. So therefore, the mitzvah and Eisa has to battle the Yetzirah, while the Eina mitzvah of Eisa doesn't have to. Therefore, Skora Godel, his reward is greater. So that's a second interpretation. Both are endless. Both are true. Then we have a third interpretation. That's from the Maral, which is very deep. And he says, no, there's a simple significance between the two. And he says something very deep, but very important. He says, a mitzvah v'aisa, someone who's commanded in the mitzvah, he becomes an eved to that mitzvah, to that mitzvah. If a king commands you, and you are commanded, you're abda, you're his eved. If you're a freelance, you can come and go, you're not his eved, you're not abda, you're not his subject, you're not his servant. So there's a great difference. Someone who's mitzvah and mitzvahs, he's a subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's an eved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a shibud, meshubah to him. He's subjected to him where he cannot back out. Because who can you command? Who can you be gazer, put decrees on? Someone that's yours. So therefore, someone who's commanded in mitzvahs, nasa abda, he becomes his subject, he becomes his servant, and he cannot break away. Someone who's meshuchrar min ha-mitzvah, someone who's free of mitzvahs, you're not Hashem's eved. There's no shibud. There's no. He has no claim on you. And now there's a great difference, because an eved to the melech is elevated to the level of the king, and he's far greater, therefore, than someone who's not an eved, and therefore, God will score it. His reward is much greater. And this is the whole yisod of mitzvahs. This is why we call it mitzvahs. Mitzvahs doesn't mean you're doing a good thing. Mitzvah means a decree that you have to do. That's what the word mitzvah means. Tzivoy. What does a tzivoy mean? You go into the army and you get a command from your superior officer. You don't say, well, I'll think about it. You say you'll think about it, you'll be court-martialed. A command is a command. Someone once told me, it was a soldier, and he said that when you were told in the army something to do tomorrow, and you said, I'll try to do it, he would say, no, tomorrow you're not going to try to do it. Tomorrow you're going to do it. And that was the end of the story. Okay? And that's what a tzivoy is. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvahs to Israel, he said, Amzu Konisho. I have acquired this nation. They are mine now. He said, Avodaihem v'lei avodim la'avodim. Before they were avodim la'avodim, they were subjects to other kings. Now they are subjects to me. So if you're subject to Paro, or you're subject to Achashverosh, that's one dimension. You become a subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you become Mamleches Kahamim, the great Kadosh. You become the greatest nation in the world. While someone who is not mature, he's not commanded, except he's coming to do, it's a nice thing to do, he'll jump in. See? He'll also do. All right, he did a good thing, he'll have a reward. But he's not Abdoi. He doesn't become the subject to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a decree on him, it's not a shibud. So therefore, this is how the Maral explains that there is a great difference, a vast difference, between the Metzuvah Vaisa, the one who is commanded and does, and the Eina Metzuvah Vaisa, the one who's not commanded and does. So all that we said here, all these three interpretations, are all true. Whether it's because that they told me he has to constantly be in stress over it, because he must do it, and if he doesn't, he's transgressed it. Well, the other one is fair weather. Or whether he has to battle the Yetzer Hara, or whether with this he's Kainer, he comes to the level of Eved L'Hashem. So that's the Eina Metzuvah Vaisa. Now, these are the two dimensions. The truth of the matter here is the Pesach Sheni, where the people came and they said that we cannot fulfill the Pesach Rishon, the first Pesach, because Anachnu Tameim L'Nefesh, because we are Tomei, and if someone is impure, you can't hold it against them that they're not bringing the Korban Pesach. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself who commanded that you must not bring the sacrifice when you're impure. So therefore, they're not doing anything wrong. So they were no longer commanded to fulfill this mitzvah. And now they're coming to demand the Pesach Sheni. They're coming to say, we want a second chance. The truth of the matter is, they did not come with the dimension of an Eina Metzuvah Va'esa, that we are not commanded and we want to fulfill. That's not what they did. And if we think that, then it's an error. Because, firstly, they said, Loma Migora, why should we be worse than the rest of Israel? And we just explained that they would be worse. Hashem says, look, you're not commanded in the Pesach, but you want to bring it next month. They're still Migora, they're still much worse off. The one who's commanded is greater, and he gets more reward. Secondly, you cannot bring a Korban Pesach if you're not commanded in it. This is the halacha. There are certain sacrifices that you can bring as an adova, that you can bring as a contribution. You want to give a goodwill offering. You want to bring an offering based on your own goodwill, right, that's Nedarim and Nedoves. But according to Pesach, you cannot bring because you have goodwill, you want to bring it. It will not be a Korban Pesach. A Korban Pesach, a sacrifice of Pesach, you can only bring when you're obligated to bring it. So actually, they are coming with a different demand. They're not saying that let us have a part in this also, even though we're not commanded. They're saying, we want to be commanded also in the Korban Pesach. Why should we, Loman Digora, why should we be worse than everyone else that they brought the sacrifice while they were commanded in it, and we were not able to because we were impure? We also want to be able to bring the sacrifice when we are commanded in it. This is what their demand was. And in that way, we will be the same as the rest of Israel. The Sheikh B'nai Israel. We will be no different than the rest of Israel. And we will be able to bring the sacrifice of the Pesach, not just a goodwill offering. And on that, Moshe didn't know what to say. He says, it's a good question. You want me to go and make new mitzvahs? You want me to give you commands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave you off of Sinai? He says, Indo Vashma, I'm going to have to discuss this with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he went to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, tell them that they are now commanded to bring the second Pesach. That those that are not able to bring the first, they are now commanded to bring the second Pesach. And now if they don't, they will be punished for it. And they're obligated. But if they do, it will be a metzuvah ba'aseh, it will be like one who's commanded, and they will be not nigora, they will not be any worse now than the rest of Israel. Loma nigora levilti hakri v'skoben Hashem b'mayah debesech b'nei Yisrael. Why should we be worse than the rest of Israel? It comes here, it comes out then, that actually this parsha that we're learning now is a great chidush, is something very, very unique. Because all of the time, a mitzvah, which means a command, where does it come from? It comes from the metzaveh to the metzuvah. It comes from the king to the servant. Here, it's starting with the servant to the king. The servant is coming, and he's demanding from the king that the king should command him to do something. This is contrary to mitzvahs. Mitzvahs is where the king comes, and he commands the servant, I command you to do this, I decree that you must do this. So the mitzvah is from the metzaveh to the metzuvah, from the one who commands to the one who is commanded. Here the eved is coming, the servant is coming, and he's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Loman Nigora, the Sheikh B'nai Yisrael, why should I be different, worse off than anybody in Israel? I demand that you command me also. So the one who is being commanded, the servant, is coming to demand from the king that he should command him also. It's just the opposite of all mitzvahs. And therefore, this is a very, very unique parsha. And this is what is known as all of the time the mitzvahs come milmala lamato, from above down. Here, the beginning, the source of the mitzvah, the sheirish of the mitzvah is coming milmata lemala, from down upwards. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvahs from Sinai. So they came from him to us. They started with him. He came and said, do we want his Torah? So they came from him to us. Here, this mitzvah is coming from Israel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They are the ones who demanded and said, Loma Nigora, why should we be worse off than the rest of Israel and not also be commanded in this mitzvah? And therefore, this is what is known as an Isaruta de la Mato, de la Sato. There's the Isaruta de la Elo, where the Isairidus, the awakening, the beginning of the mitzvah comes from the top down, while here it's coming from the bottom up. So this is what is very unique about this parsha. Accordingly, we have a further depth in what the Sifri brings, that Rashi brings. The Sifri asks that we see that Moshe, the whole Torah was given through Moshe, basically. Kodesh Baruch Hu explained the whole Torah to Moshe, and Moshe gave it to Israel. There's a kasha there. What's the kasha? So, what happened to this mitzvah? Why wasn't Moshe made aware of this mitzvah? Why, when they came, he had to say, I don't know, and I'll have to go and ask at Kodesh Baruch Hu? What happened on Sinai? This is one of the 613 mitzvahs. So the Sifri brings, Rashi brings it. Ruyo ha'iso parsha zu le'omer al yidei Moshe kisharko la'teir kula. Really, this parsha should have been given with the rest of the mitzvahs to Moshe. Ela shezochu elu she'te'omer al yideihem. But they had the schus that it should be said through them. Because you give a schus to someone who is a great person, who does a good thing. So therefore, it was written through them. Now generally we learn, there's no difference if it was written through Moshe or written through them. Except who will have his name on it. Now, comes out something new now. Had Moshe given this mitzvah, and he had received it at Sinai, then it would have been an Isaruta de la Elo. It would have come from the top down. It would have been a mitzvah Hashem on the people. But because these people were Zecher, that they had the greatness to demand this mitzvah, now this is a mitzvah with a unique chidush in it, with something unique in it. That this is a mitzvah that Yisrael demanded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu command them in it. That's why the Torah wrote it through them. In other words, this mitzvah is different than the rest of the Tanyag, than the 613. Had it come through Moshe, it would have been no different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving mitzvahs to Yisrael. He's commanding. Now it has this uniqueness that it came from the people. It didn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore it's the unique mitzvah which teaches us that Yisrael demanded from Hashem that he commands them in a mitzvah. Now, this level that we're speaking about, this is something that's unique only to Israel, not to the nations of the world, and only to the Ksherim of Israel, to the righteous of Israel. For example, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, it states that he was Chozer al-Kol HaUmos. He went to all of the nations of the world. He wanted to give the Torah to the entire world because the Torah is not limited. It was made for the whole world. But the nations asked what's written in it. And each one, he told what's written in it. And each one said, sorry, we cannot accept it. So they rejected it. When he came to Israel, they didn't ask what's written in it. Immediately they said, Nase v'nishma. We will take the Torah and we will do the, and we will fulfill the Torah and we will learn the Torah. They said, basically, that even though we do not know what's in the Torah, we will fulfill the Torah. Whatever's in it, we will do. Now, this was not the same level that we're talking about here, because it started with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It didn't start with them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, here, take my Torah. But what we do see is while all of the other nations rejected the Torah because they did not want to be avodim l'Hashem, they did not want the shibud, they didn't want the commitment, they didn't want the abdus. It says, no, it's too much. Klal Yisrael, to the contrary, not even knowing what is in the Torah and not even knowing how much it encompasses, they said, we will do it. You want us to be your servants, we'll be your servants. It's like a king comes to someone and says, will you be my servant? So first you have to ask, what's expected of me? They said, no. Whatever you want us to do, we will do. So we see something here unique, that while all of the nations of the world reject Abdus and Shibud by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Israel runs towards it. And actually was pointed out, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Perek Rabbi Kiva, that a goy, a non-Jew, came, and when he saw, I believe it was Rava, that Rava was sitting and learning, and while he was learning, he had his hand under his leg, and he got so engrossed in learning, he didn't realize that he was putting a lot of pressure on his hand against the bench, and his hand started to bleed. He didn't realize it. He was so engrossed in learning. So when the non-Jew saw this, he said, Amo de Besiso. You come from the wild nation. He called him, Israel, wild, over spontaneous, impulsive. He says, this is how you were on Har Sinai. He says, how could you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu Da'aseh V'Nishma that we will do when you didn't even know what was written for? Bereisha, first you should have asked Maksivoch what's written in it. Then you could have told him whether you accept or not. This is how civilized people do. He called them Amad Mesiso. You're a wild nation, you're an over impulsive nation. Now he was right. It's not that Israel's uncivilized, but when it comes to being a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are not rational. They are over impulsive. When the rest of the nations ran from a shibud, they ran from being a subject to him, being committed, Klal Yisrael jumped at the chance. You want us, you have us, finished. So this is unique in Israel, not in Umaris. And even by Israel, this is in the Ksherim Shebahem. In the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Maral writes that on the four Dalet Bonim, on the four sons, it says, Rosha Mohu Aimer. What does the Rosha say? Mohu Aveda Hazeis Lochem. What is this Avoda to you? And his question is written by the Korban Pesach, by the sacrifice of the Pesach. And it's called Avoda, because this is the work of an Eved, of a servant for the king. He brings him offerings. And this is where the Rosha, this is what he doesn't want. The Rosha is Ein Reitz B'Aveda. He doesn't want Shibut, he doesn't want commitment. He wants a Shichra, he wants to be free. The Gemara says even further, the Gemara says even an Eved Kenani. An Eved Kenani is a servant, a slave that is owned by a Jew, and he has many mitzvahs because the Jew circumcised him and put him in the mikveh. So he has many mitzvahs. So when the Gemara discusses what would he rather do, would he rather remain a slave, and then he's a slave to a master, or would he rather have his freedom? And as the Gemara says, it's a good reason to say that he doesn't want his freedom. Why? Because once he's free, he becomes obligated in all of the mitzvahs. The Abdo, the Hefkera Nichalei. He wants his freedom from mitzvahs. He wants his freedom He wants his hefkerish. In other words, that he'd rather remain a slave to a man and be free from the burden of mitzvahs than having his political freedom, where he will be liberated from the servitude, from the being a subject to the man, but he will become obligated to chol mitzvahs and all mitzvahs. No, that's not shikura to him. So we see that by when it comes to the nations of the world, or when it comes to the Rishoyim, they run from Abdus, of Hashem. When it comes to Israel, not only are they prepared to accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands them in, but when they're not commanded in something, like here by the Pesach Sheni, they come and demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Nigora, why should we be worse? We want to be commanded in this also. This is the level that we see from this mitzvah, which is a very, very important level. Now we have a similar, in a similar vein, we have this here in the parsha itself, just a little further, in Perek Yud Aleph, Posek Dalid. It states, "Asafsu fasher bikirbo his avu tava." The Asafsu, which was in Klal Yisrael, they started to have all types of physical. They had started to have physical desires for meat, and they said, "Vayoshuvu vayivku gam bnei Yisrael vayemru." And they went, and they got Israel involved also, and they said, "Mi achileinu boso, who is going to feed us meat?" Zachanu es adogo ashenecho b'mitzrayim chinom. We remember everything that we had in Egypt for nothing, fish and whatnot. So, firstly, who are the asafsuf? Rashi says, "Elu erev rav shenesfu aleihem b'tzeisim b'mitzrayim." These were the erev rav, the multitudes of non-Jews that went along with the Israel as they went out of Egypt. And what does it mean that everything that we ate in Egypt for nothing, free? Rashi brings from the Sifri again. He says, they had it for nothing. Paro said that I'm not going to give you tevin, I'm not going to give you straw to make bricks and mortar for me. So fish and everything else he's going to give them. So what does it mean, chinam? Chinom mina mitzvahs. We didn't have to fulfill mitzvahs there. We could eat whatever we wanted and however we wanted, free from mitzvahs. So this was their complaint. A little later, in the same episode here, it states, in Pasuk Yud, Vayishma Mesha So'om Beicha Lemishpachesov. Moshe heard the nation, and they were weeping in regards to their family. Each le Pesach Ola, each one by his tent. Vayicharaf Hashem Me'ev, and the people, and Hashem became very angry, and v'enei Moshe ra, and Moshe, in the eyes of Moshe, was evil what the people were doing. What does it mean? They were beichel mishpachesov. They were crying in regards to their family. So Rashi brings. Rashi brings from the Sifri, al iske mishpoches, al arayis hanesoris lahem. Before the giving of the Torah, they were married to many relatives that the non-Jew is not commanded in regards to forbidden marriages, because they had the status of the Neneach, the children of Neneach, before the Torah was given. Only the Ovis, just the Ovis, kept the mitzvahs, but not all of Israel. Now that the Torah was given, all of a sudden they found out that many of their relatives would become forbidden to them. Now it's not that they had to necessarily break up marriages that they were already had, because it states, Shuva lachem lo aleichem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them after they came to Sinai and the Torah was given, he said, return to your tents. So from here we learn they could go back to their wife. Actually, the Chassam Sefer, I heard from my Rebbe Reb Gifter that the Chassam Sefer brings a proof from there to the principle, Gershin is Gaya Kikonishin Lele Domi. How could they go back to their wives? Many of those wives were from the craving from the relatives, which have now become forbidden, because they were all Gerim at Har Sinai. Everybody became a Ger. Everybody became like a convert. And so was Kikon Shinele Domi. It was like a newborn, and their relationship, therefore, became allowed. But it was only the new ones. They couldn't continue to marry new relatives that would be born. And this is what they were kicking about. Now, the Gurai asks, why is this in this parsha? What's it got to do with it? Here they're talking about meat, and now we see they're crying about who they couldn't marry. The answer is, the Safsuf came, Isabu Taiva, they were complaining that they no longer could fulfill all of their physical desires without all types of constraints and limitations. Before, when we were in Egypt, physically we could do what we wanted, almost. We could eat what we wanted. We could marry who we wanted. And the limitations were very, very small. Now, we have the Torah. What happened to everything we had before? Before was chinam min ha-mitzvus. Well, now we have the Torah, we have all of these limitations on all of our physical desires. This is what they were complaining about. So that's what one has to do with the other. This is what we're talking about. When it comes to the Rishoyim, when it comes to the goyim, the non-Jew, they do not want the burden of mitzvahs. They do not want limitations. They do not want the shibu to Hashem. They do not want to be an eved l'Hashem. They want the hafkera nicholei. They want shichru. Chino mina mitzvahs. Be free from these mitzvahs. So they run from mitzvahs. When it comes to Israel, not only are they happy to accept whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, Nase v'nishma, to be an eved to Hashem, but even what He does not give them, they also complain and say, we want more mitzvahs. And not that we want mitzvahs that we could fulfill even though we're not commanded them, like an Eina Mitzvah Va'esa. No, we want to be mitzvah in more mitzvahs. And that's the Chiddush of the Pesach Sheni. And that's why it was Zohu that it was written by them. Because had it been written by Moshe, then it would have been the same as any other mitzvah that Hashem is commanding on the people. It would have come off of Har Sinai. Here the Shadish, the beginning of this mitzvah, came from these people. So therefore it was Zohu, they were Zeicher, that it should be Nichtav al Yedehem, written by them. This is what we learned from this parsha and from this mitzvah. And actually we see this in the world. Unfortunately, it seeps into Israel also. We live in a world where nobody wants commitment. Whenever you talk to anybody, they'll say, yeah, but no commitment. They don't want a commitment, especially a lifelong commitment. You tell someone, do this. For how long should I do it? For the rest of your life. Oh no, that's like a prison sentence to someone. Like serving a life sentence. Yet, we see by Israel, Torah is a life sentence. Being an Eved LaHashem is a life sentence. It's not for 6 months, it's not for a year, it's not for 5 years, it's not for 10 years. It's Ad Yom Meisecho, until the day of your death. You know when there's Shichrur, the Chazal say, there's Amesim Chofshi Min HaMitzvos. The dead become a Shichrur. Become free of mitzvahs. And this is another insight as to the Chazal tell us that one is not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs in the presence of the dead. If you're watching a dead body, and you got a mitzvah to fulfill, you have to go out and do it. You can't do it in the same room. Why? It's leag lemeis, because it's coffee him. It's a scoff to him. Because you say, here, I have mitzvahs, and you doubt him. What's the scoff? Because you're saying, I'm an Eved LaHashem. You are no longer an Eved LaHashem. How can you be an Eved LaHashem? A servant is a servant to the king because there's decrees and a claim on the king from him that whatever the king says, he has to do. By the Mesim, that's bottle that's not there anymore. That's what the Chazal say, Mesim Chofshim in HaMitzvahs. They're Meshukra, they're free from mitzvahs. They're free from mitzvahs. They are no longer a servant to Hashem. If I do a mitzvah in their presence, it's as if I'm laughing at them and I'm showing them, I'm an Eved to Hashem, but you're not. But the this that we became Avodim LaHashem, this was a life duty, a life responsibility. Tayag mitzvahs were obligated not for a certain term, say it's Adye Meshach, until a person leaves this world. Unfortunately today, the world is as far away as commitment as possible. And this is what we say, because Abdom they have Kedonifalay. They'd rather be physically enslaved as long as they have their hefkeros, their chinamina mitzvahs, but they don't have mitzvahs. They can do whatever their desires decree that they should do. This is just the total antithesis to what was is, which is mitzvahs, which are mitzvahs and abdus. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when he gave us the Torah, Amzu Koniso, I have now, this nation belongs to me. Avodaihem v'lei avodim lamod.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.